the statehood movement fight. Mr. Atwood was chairman of the Alaska Statehood Commission. McCutcheon was on the commission. He'd always fought what he called the Seattle interests, the salmon interests. And I guess it was inevitable that he drifted into, after he got the settlement for the Tyoniks, it was inevitable that he would drift into helping to create the Federation of Natives.
I've spoken to other attorneys, of course, on different sides of issues. Do attorneys normally still, or did they in the earlier days, still socialize together when they were on different ends of a political issue?
Oh, yeah.
Were there any great chasms between political sides, or great rifts, or...
I don't think so. Wendell Kay, for example, had a law partner named Paul Robeson, and Robeson was a big Republican, and Kay was a big Democrat, and Robeson would issue a press release blasting Kay and the Democrats, and Kay would issue a press release blasting Robeson and the Republicans, and then they'd all go have a beer together.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same? Is it true today, too?
I don't think it's true to the extent today that it was then, because it's a lot bigger now, and the lines are probably more sharply drawn. And, I served in the legislature with Chancey Croft for 4 years. We were on opposite sides on the same side, but he and I really don't socialize very much.
Is it that it's a larger community and you don't have to socialize with them?
I think that's right. But on the other hand, I have lunch with Mr. Rader, and we've been both partners and political opponents and a variety of things over the years. And I guess it depends on who the individual is. He and I have lunch together 2 or 3 times a month. Mm-hmm.
After your work with McCutcheon, or when did your work with McCutcheon end?
I think he and I were partners for about 6 years, from 66 to 72. And there were various other guys in that firm. It was McCutcheon, Groen, Benkert. Then it was McCutcheon, Groen, Benkert. And Green. And then it was McCutcheon, Grove, Benkert, Green, and Walter.
Who are Green and Walter? Just give me first name.
Bill Green and Carl Walter. And I think those firms lasted from sometime in 66 till sometime in either 71 or 72.
Were you still doing corporate work at the same time and labor work, or had you devoted most of your time to the labor law?
We got off the labor work pretty much. We're doing a lot of corporate work. I had, in the meantime, created Security Title and Trust Company, mm-hmm. which is downstairs in this building. So we were doing a lot of title company work, bank work, contractors, sort of a commercial practice.
What happened in 72?
We dissolved the firm.
Why did you dissolve it in 72?
I keep dissolving these firms, right? Well, primarily because for a variety of reasons, it wasn't working. So Groen, Benkert, and Walter split off from McCutcheon. In the meantime, Native claims had been settled. Mm-hmm. And, so we formed a firm called Groen, Benkert, and Walter.
Did you continue to do Native work, or did McCutcheon keep the Native claim?
I think we both did it, but once the Claims Act was settled, there were a whole bunch of new people that came in to reap the spoils.
A lot of outside lawyers.
A lot of outside lawyers.
How did that
Incidentally, work? Hendrickson was in that firm. John W. Hendrickson was in that firm at one time.
Did he go with McCutcheon or with the girl?
No, he left before.
He left before the storm. How did you feel about all these outside counsel coming in?
It didn't really bother me. There were a lot of other guys that were terribly upset about it. I really didn't think they were going to do that much more than we could do. But they certainly had the pizzazz and the national names. You know, there was Justice Goldberg, Ramsey Clark, Weisbrot from D.C. Weisbrot and Weisbrot. They were Indian lawyers. This is Seattle firm. They were coming in from every place.
Mm-hmm. So did you move out of the native field?
I think so, yeah. I was in the state senate then, so I was gone. I was in the state senate from 71, 2, 3, and 4. So I'd be gone for up to, 5.5 months a year in Juneau, and this is when the big fights were going on in the legislature over the construction of the pipeline, and so the sessions were very long and arduous, and so I'd be gone.
How did you manage to keep up your practice and your firm at the same time?
It was difficult. Well, and it ultimately resulted in I think that contributed to the dissolution of the McCutcheon firm, and it also contributed to the dissolution of the Grobe-Benkert firm in the subsequent years.
Did you weigh that when you decided to run for the legislature? Consider it?
Well, I guess I did, yeah.
So you weighed the firm versus the state legislature.
Yeah.
The state legislature won.
Yes.
So 1974, what firm were you left with when you got out of the legislature?
Well, I didn't dissolve right away because by this time, it's a result of hard work, effort, intelligence, and otherwise. I had worked up until I had the finest clients in the state. And I represented Alyeska Pipeline during the construction of the pipeline, and I represented Fluor. Fluor, which is one of the, had half the construction of the pipeline. And I represented all kinds of other companies that had worked on the pipeline. And we had a big practice, and but the remnants of my legislative days were still a problem, and so we dissolved the firm. And at that time, I had a. Young men in the firm, and so I dissolved the other firm and created a firm with these younger guys, the guys that are here today. And I don't think we did that until 76.
So this is a fairly new firm.
It's fairly new as far as everybody, but Grow has always been here, right?
Did you keep most of your old clients?
Sure. Not mostly. I kept my share of them.
Mm-hmm. Like Alyeska Pipeline, mm-hmm. And the ones that you'd mentioned were your clients. Since 1976, have you been as involved in public service and doing everything else that you...
Well, no, I took a stint as Republican National Committee man. what years those were. But anyway, I was Republican National Committee man for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I think that was 76, 77, and I've been on the Central Committee of the Republican Party all the way through. 78, I made another try for political office.
What did you run for?
State Senate. Mm-hmm. Only election I ever lost. But I lost it by 300 votes. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've just been on the Republican Central Committee. I, of course, have been active in the reapportionment area. Mm-hmm. I sued Egan in 72, and Hammond versus Deegan, 74, Grove versus Egan. 76, Grove versus Hammond. And in 80, I was on the reapportionment board. Or 81, I guess.
No more suits, though. Right?
No more suits. But this last plan, I was on the board, so that's public service, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Just looking over the bar, as long as you've been here, have there been major changes in the tenor of the bar that you can point out?
Well, other than the fact that it's so much larger, and other than the fact that they get into what I conceive to be relatively petty disputes, I'd say no.
Did you ever work at the bar exam?
I wrote it.
Did you write it?
I wrote it and graded it.
Yes, I had a notation here that you might have been a bar exam grader. Can you tell me about the procedure that was used, or tell me about the bar exam, how you came to do it?
Well, you know, you get, in the final analysis, as in the legislature, you get very little effective volunteerism in these matters, and I can't remember. I think it was the year that I was president of the bar. I couldn't get anybody to write it. And so I had corresponded with the National Conference of Bar Examiners and got a whole bunch of questions from them and just prepared the exam myself. And then I would appoint a grading committee and then they would grade it, and then the board would meet and would decide who passed and who didn't. I considered that sort of fascinating to write one. I think I wrote two of them. I'm not sure. I know I wrote one. I might have written two. And then, of course, originally, we didn't even have any number system to keep the name of the examinee secret. That we had them put their names on it, and then we got to thinking that maybe that wasn't quite fair, so we set up a single number system, and then they ultimately went to a double number system. Mm-hmm.
Was there any set procedure for a bar exam when you did it?
Well,
this is in 59. Is that right?
Yeah, 59. Yeah. Well, you hired a hall and you told everybody to come, and they all came down and took the exam. I did do one thing from it, though. I thought maybe it was unfair at the time, but after I found out who was the brightest guy, I'd go try to hire him. And the guy that impressed me the most ever was Pete Walton. There was an evidence question, and he said, if you look in volume 8, page 365 of Wigmore, you'll see the answer. And so I went to volume 8, page 365 of Wigmore, and he was right.
Oh my God. Before you did the bomb, before you wrote it, how was it handled?
Other guys wrote it.
So just the bar, board of governors before you, they just handled
it. They'd appoint a bar examining committee or bar, preparation of the bar exam committee, whatever you want to call it, whatever we called it in those days. And guys would get together, and if you had some help, you'd use it, and if you didn't have some help, you didn't use it, and ultimately somebody had to take responsibility for preparing it and giving it.
Who were active in the bar at that time?
Well, the executive director, I think, was either Pete Calamarides or his secretary, one or the other, and they ran it for a number of years. And when I was president of the bar, her name was Carol Benny, I think. She was pretty much the person that did it. I mean, she did the mechanics. She couldn't prepare the exams.
Were there a lot of people coming in at that time?
I don't know what's a lot, Pam, you know.
Versus 52 when you were here.
Well, yeah, sure. The numbers have always increased.
Okay. Yeah. There was what I'm trying to get at with statehood in 59. Did you see a particular...
Yeah, you can take the population booms of Anchorage, whether it's statehood or whatever it is, and the number of lawyers are in proportion to the population. If it's a big population boom, you get more lawyers.
I think that's it.
You know what, bitch?